Our topic today is Chassidus, the world of Chassidus. So what is Chassidus? So if you were to ask an expert in Chassidus, so let's say his name is Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, and he tells you, he says, I have a whole chapter in the back of this book, the epilogue, and just what is Chassidus? And this is an important question, because if we're going to think about what is Chassidus and how it relates to Purim, so what is the thesis of Rabbi Twersky, for those of you who don't know? So he was a very prominent psychiatrist for many decades. He treated alcoholism and all kinds of substance abuse outside of Pittsburgh. But originally, as many of you know, he's from right here in the Midwest. His family is from Milwaukee. He studied in Marquette. And his rabbinic dynasty goes back many generations, the Twersky family. So he's a man who lives Chassidus. This is what his inner core is. I think, though, he made Aliyah recently. He was living in Teaneck, and I think he just made Aliyah. He's in his 80s. So he makes an interesting observation when you ask the question, what is Chassidus? So he says, well, you know, if Chassidus is about, and he lists about five different elements, components, which we'll talk about in a second, he says, you can find each of these elsewhere in Judaism. You can find all of these sources or concepts, which we'll talk about in a second. They're not unique to Chassidim, to Chassidus, which is a movement that was initiated in the 18th century by the Heilige Baal Shem HaKadosh. He didn't invent this aspect of Judaism. What he did was he created a focus and an emphasis. So whereas we open up a Gemara, we open up Shas, many here, Daf Yomi folks, you go through Shas and you find so many different aspects of Yiddishkeit that we're supposed to develop, but we go through them, you know, on one level. Chassidus says, well, let's pause right there, pause the tape and dig deeper. Let's focus on this Nakuda. You know, growing up, many of us, for example, had exposure, especially those who are before my generation, some of your generation, to certain Malamdim, let's say European Malamdim, some of them, who didn't come from Chassidish circles. Maybe that some of them came from more Musar yeshivas or other kinds. So some, their Mahalach, like when they got in the Masorah to where Chazal described the different levels of Gehenim, that's where they went deep. You know, that was a big thing for them. It was an Inyan. So they saw that was their Chelek in Torah, and they gave that to their Talmidim. So, you know, they would pile up various Mesilas Yisharim and, like, throw them. And, you know, it's a Mahalach for some people. And if that works for you, Gagaz in the Hay, that's awesome. Terrific. Right? If that is your way in Avodas Hashem, but not for everybody. So Chassidus says, let's take a look at our Avodas Hashem and let's drill down on some specific aspects. And the reason that we're having this discussion today is because it seems to me that there are several aspects, several elements of Chassidus that are central to Purim. And there are several elements of Purim that are central to Chassidus. There is a lot of Torah in the world of Chassidim about Purim, and I think there's a reason for that, because they share many common elements. And these are, again, based on our prologue, nobody should walk out of here and say, oh, this doesn't exist anywhere else in the Torah. Of course it exists elsewhere. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is there's a special emphasis here. Now, also, to be candid, you know, I'm not an expert in Chassidus. I'm certainly not an expert in anything, but certainly not in terms of my cultural affiliation. But I could say that this is an area of Limud HaTorah that speaks to me and has spoken to me for a good part, especially, you know, my family, our roots. Everybody knows, you know, you have to know your Masorah. Everybody knows they come from somewhere special. So our family, both on my mother's side, my father's side, we come from deep Chassidic families. And growing up, I had tremendous formative experience of davening growing up in a Chassidish shtiebel. Some of you knew the Rebbe of our shtiebel was a Hungarian a Holocaust survivor. He was a Rebbe in a small Hungarian town called Vrid, not far from Satmar. And he came to America. His wife and five children stayed in Europe, Lo Aleinu, they went up. And he came to America. And the Satmar Rebbe said, you should go to Baltimore and set up a shtiebel, which is what he did. And growing up, that had a tremendous influence on me. And then as over the years, as I've had the opportunity to continue to learn and listen to Shiurim and read more Sfarim, so it's like when the Kollel fellows come and they come to check out the Kollel, so I give them a tour of Chicago. And Larry's thinking, what a joke, I can't give a tour of Chicago, but it's the non-Chicagoans' tour of Chicago. So from an outside, so it's good, you know, I know what it looks like to Chicago from an inside, but I don't know what it was like on the old Southwest side, you know, like, so obviously this is the small version of what I have learned and I'm sharing of my understanding of Hasidus. But if you go deep in the world of Hasidus, you'll probably find a lot deeper. This is just the beginning. So I'll give you one place to start, and we're going to cover three topics. Three different elements. Each of these elements is core to Hasidus, and there is so much about the Purim experience and the Purim story. And the truth is, we could do a lot more. You know, what are we not going to talk about today? We're not going to talk about stories. Stories are big in the world of Hasidus. This is just one example. There are tons, and they run the gamut, like the Martin Buber group and the Karl Bach stories group. The stories are huge. The Megillah is a story. So obviously that, you know, we could talk about that. In Hasidus, the world of Hashgacha Pratis is very prominent. So Esther, Megillas Esther, whole story about Hashgacha Pratis, the idea of the everyman. There are lots of different themes, but I just want to focus on three because otherwise we'd be here all day. So let's start with the following. Hasidus emphasizes a Hebrew term which we can call pnimius. What does the word pnimius mean? Anybody know?
Internalization.
Right. Internal. Pnim. Beyond the surface. You can open up the Megillah and you find a story. There's an interesting book called The Dawn by a guy by the name of Yoram Chazoni. He's a prominent Israeli intellectual. And he wrote a whole book about Megillah Esther as a political narrative. Through a Jewish lens, of course, but he's like, you have a despot who has strange ways of dealing with women, not that we know anything about that. Guy who runs a country, a lot of countries, he misuses women, he has a whim about him that seems kind of capricious, gets involved in crazy things, somehow remains in power, a lot of strange phenomena. I don't want to relate them to anything Lemaisa. This is all theoretical. It's all the Megillah. It's all the Megillah. And then you have people who around him, you know, this apparatchiks, this chevra, that chevra, everybody's doing and going. So it's a story. Everybody, you know, we're all familiar with these stories for many hundreds of and thousands of years. That's it on the surface. But when... There's a tremendous... But the truth is that when Chazal looked at the Megillah, they saw there was a deeper level. Yes, there is a surface level understanding of this story, but then there's the pnimius. There's the inner level of understanding the story of the Megillah. For us, the Megillah is not just a story of palace intrigue. It's much deeper. And that's true for all of life. And that's what Hasidus is focusing on in life. It's that there's the world that we see, the world around us, but then there's the inner world that exists around us and that exists within us. That notion that we live in the world of pnimius, that we're not defined by the external world, that is core to the Megillah, that's core to Hasidus, and that's core to what we are developing as individuals. What's a deeper level of the story? Well, this appears in Chazal, and it's amplified in many different Sifrei Hasidus, that the story is not about a drunk king and crazy palace advisors. It's about a Amalek. It's about a shorish of Ra, a trend of evil that exists through humanity. It's over the course of generations that we see Lo Aleinu. I listened to the news this morning. They said now 50 people, 50 innocent people So we don't have time to talk about it, but it's fascinating. This past week, I'm working on a very dense, incredibly powerful, amazing sefer. It's a sefer. It happens to be written by a goy, but his name is Jordan B. Peterson. He has a book called 12 Rules for Life. So he has a shtickle in this sefer, in this book he's a psychologist, about the psychology of mass murderers. And he's a piece from the diary from one of the murderers of the Columbine massacre. And what he develops there, I'm reading this, I'm like, I never had a pshat in Amalek like I saw in this psychology of destruction. Absolute, utter destruction for no purpose. Rachmana litzlan. So when Chazal look at the Megillah, they say, yes, there's a surface level, but then there's the deeper level. Haman ho'agogi, and the koach of Amalek, and the koach of Pirud, of dividing, of leich kenosis kol ha-yehudim, that, wait a second, when we go even deeper, we see that Haman, the koach of Amalek, is to say they're mefuz or mefurad. And then Esther says, yeah, but kenosis kol ha-yehudim. So this is the way the Chazal, the Sifrei Chassidus, they're going to look at the Megillah, and they're going to say there's the surface level, but then there's the pnimius level. The plane, the reality in which we can appreciate this. I'll share with you, this is the Heligas Svasemis, because this is a little bit about Chassidus in general. The Heligas Svasemis, one of the greatest Chassidic masters, the Ger Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Ari Leib of Ger, from the 19th century. His grandfather was the founder of the Ger Chassidus, the Chidushe Harim. He says something, he says, classic Chassidus Shavort, amazing. And this again reflects the same yesod of the Pnimius. We have a din. The din is that Krachim Hamukafin Choma, walled cities, Mimos Yoshua Ben Nun, they read on the 15th. So why is that? Anybody know why Krachim Hamukafin Choma, Mimos Yoshua Ben Nun, why do they read on the 15th? So special, the Shushan, the Yerushalmi, the Gemara Megillah, they had this extra day, so Shushan had a wall and covered for Eretz Yisrael, etc. Yes, this is all true. That's all on the surface level. That's a din. And you go to Yerushalayim, they have Purim on the 15th. Gevalt. Says the Heligas Vasemes, this was in Tafrei Shlamet Hei. He says, you know why? He says, Mukafar Amor Chashev, because he says, when Yehoshua ben Nun, because that's the Shir, right? When does it have to be Mukaf, the wall surrounded from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun? He says, when the Jews came, Yehoshua ben Nun came to conquer the land, which were the most difficult cities for the Jews to conquer? What do you think? Well, why? Yes, fortified. So he says, what does that teach us? Yehoshua ben Nun is trying to bring Kedusha. Look how he looks beneath the surface. This is the Pnimius message. He says, you struggle in your life to bring Kedusha in the world, and sometimes there are spots where bringing the Kedusha into the world is so difficult, it's more difficult than elsewhere. The Canaan, the local people, in that case, the local people who represent the klipa, the husk that doesn't let us bring our inner self out, they're so strong. They're stronger in this spot than they are somewhere else. So he says, Al-Pi Sod, we have a tradition that it's a simon. Wherever you have more difficulty in your growth, it means there's deeper kedusha down there. Like, you go, I don't know if anybody has ever gone there, Fort Knox. Right? They have a lot of money in Fort Knox, so they have high security. In Wells Fargo, where I go on Howard to get money from the bank, they have security. They don't have the same level of security they have in Fort Knox. So he says, the Krach and Amukaf and Chomim Mimos Yoshua Ben Nun, those walled cities, they have higher Kedusha. Because to break through those walls, it was tough. It was not easy. And he says, that's why when the Jews were saved, Kevan Shinitzolu HaYehudin Hamukafim v'lo nisor haklipa. The Jews who were in the walled cities, they were saved, even though there was so much intensity of anti-Jewish, anti-Ruchnius, so much challenge, they're going to celebrate even more. They're going to celebrate an extra day. They're going to have a greater level. So on the surface level, the Mukafim Choma, it's a technicality. The Gemara says, the Achashverosh, he lived in Shushan and had a wall covered for Eretz Israel. But in Chassidus, they say, what's on the Pnimius? What's on the inside of this? It's about the challenges of life and how sometimes the things that are most difficult for us, they become the most rewarding. We accomplish more when we overcome those great challenges. That's looking at the Megillah, at a din in the Mukaf and Choma, on a level of Pnimius. And it's not just on a panemius level, in theory, in the world of Hasidus, this becomes how I lead my life. Now when I go outside and I notice I have a challenge in a particular area, I say, oh, you know what? But I can mind that. There must be, you know, how many people said, we couldn't have a Yom Ion this morning, you have this difficulty, you have that difficulty, lots of difficulties. The difficulties are a simon that we got to reach the Kedusha inside. That's one element, the idea of panemius. Any questions, comments, or observations? So far, so good. Let's go to number two. The notion of Ava. Ava is at the center of the world of Hasidus. Ava between Jews, Ava of us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. And these are all interrelated. They're all connected to each other. They are intertwined and inseparable. In the world of Hasidus, this all goes together. That's why you'll find, let's say you have a Chabad Siddur. I don't know if any other, in our shul growing up, they didn't have this in the Siddurim, but in the Chabad Siddurim, they have at the beginning of Shacharis, what do people say? It's a Kabbalah from the Arizal, based on the Zohar HaKadosh. Anybody know what they say before davening? The people accept upon themselves to fulfill the mitzvah of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. That's what it says. You've heard this? It's a thing. What does that have to do with anything? I'm now coming to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why am I accepting upon myself that I should be Mekayim V'Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha?
I believe they said that if you're not, you're down at the seaboard, and if you are not willing to see that your neighbor achieve what he wants to achieve, you know, or you have an issue with the person that you're dealing with, how can your tefillos be accepted?
Oh, so that's on one level, the practical level of course, we're at seaboard, we're mispala with the seaboard. And that reflects, according to Chassidus, a much deeper idea, which is that if you strove or rise of a kutchabrihu chadu, if we're all one soul, then our love for Hashem, it's going to be lacking if we don't love other Jews. It's a prerequisite. Not only that, it's a stepping stone. If we can develop our love for others, we can develop our love for Hashem. And that's why many people, they say, they're mekayim the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha in their heart to love other Jews, and they do the mitzvah of la'avdo b'chol levavchem. They love the Ribono Shel Olam. On Purim, is there a day during the year when we focus more on building Avas Reim than we do on Purim? Mishloach Manos. This is why in Achronim there's a big tumult about what you can send for Mishloach Manos. According to many, the reason for Mishloach Manos is to create friendship. Well, if there is something that doesn't create friendship, let's say, you know, there's a Rebbe in YU who has a very humorous, one of the humorous Rabbein, Rabbi Daniel Feldman. He always had a lot of jokes. So he used to say years ago, he said, salad, you can't make friends with salad. No. So he held that this might be totally in the machlokas, the Manas Halevi and others, about whether or not you can give salad for Mishloach Manos, because if you gave me a salad, let's be honest, how happy would I be? Salad? Salad?
Chicken salad?
All right, chicken salad. Oh. Chicken salad, I would say. But the yesod, right? The yesod is to be friends, to create avas reim. You know, it's so nice. It's beautiful. You feel so good. Everybody feels connected to each other. That's one, of course, everybody knows that. That's, of course, that's big in Hasidus, the idea of getting together, a fraternity of avas yisrael. But it's also the Ava that we have for Hashem and that Hashem has for us. That's part of the story about Ava. So there's a beautiful sefer that someone lent me. It's called Shufar d'Yisrael. I had never seen it. It's a sefer of Torahs that are collected from the late Blujava Rebbe, Rav Yisrael Spira. Yisrael Spira is made very famous by Yafa Eliach, Aleha HaShalom, because a lot of her Hasidic tales are about the Blujava Rebbe. Blujava had a very extraordinary life during the Holocaust and afterwards when he came to America. So Blujava has an amazing ha'ara that I saw that was so unbelievable. The pasuk says, "Ein lavo el shar hamelech belavush sak." You can't come to the king if you're wearing sackcloth. If you're not, you know, lo mechubad, the lo beseder, you can't do that. So Blujava says, "You know what that means?" He says, "You can't come to the Ribono Shel Olam when you're full of averus." That's the rule. So first of all, this takes us back to our first Mahalach about Chassidus, about Panemius, right? That's how the Chassidim are going to view this pshat. So what are we saying? says you can't come when you have levush sock. Not only that, it says va'ani lo nikresi. You're not allowed. When it says in the Megillah, when it says Hamelech, what do the Sifrei Chassidim say? Who is Hamelech with a capital Hey? Is the Ribono Shel Olam. So we all know you can't come belevush sak. You can't come if you haven't eaten and you don't look like a mensch. And you also can't come if you weren't cold. That's the rules. But you know what? This is not exactly what the Blujava says, but I think that's what he might have said. When we really cry out to the Ribono Shel Olam, when we really want to talk to him, you know what the Rebbe Shlomo says? It doesn't matter. That's the message of the Megillah. Esther says to Mordechai, she says, I can't go. I'm nothing. I'm not worthy. I'm going to get up to talk to the Rebbe Shlomo. He didn't call me. Mordechai says, it doesn't matter. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's built on Ahava. A parent who loves a child, the parent will say to the child, come anytime. You have a problem? You come anytime. There's no such thing. Doesn't matter. You know, a child, Nebuch, is frightened in the middle of the night with a dream. A little child. You ever have such a thing that a parent would say, you know, I'm sorry, our office hours are closed. It's 1:30 in the morning. You ever have such a thing? Lo yitachin. The child has frightened in the middle of the night. Of course. So Esther says, I'm going to come to the king, Asher lo chadas. Mordechai says, don't worry. Because there's an ava there. There's a love. There's a connection. And this becomes a huge theme. The Sfasemes, we mentioned before, later in Tafresh Samach, Sfasemes says, in the context of the eternal nature of the message of Purim, Chuasim Hayisa Lanetzach, we all need to remember, Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu, Afilu Osun She'ina Ru'uyim, even the people who are not worthy. You say, I didn't daven such a good chakras? Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean you can't go badam mincha. I haven't come to shul in 5 years. The Rosh Hashanah says, who cares? Yes, there is a sign. It says, technically speaking, you can't come to the Melech Bilavush Sak. You can't come unless you're called. But you know what Mordechai and Esther tell us? It doesn't matter. Because the Ribono Shel Olam loves us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He cares about us. That's the Ahava that we feel. And that is a huge emphasis in the world of Chassidus. It relates to every man, the common man, even the people who are far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The legends of the holy beggars, and the Ganovim, the thieves. What's the pshat in all these stories? And by the way, it doesn't matter whether these Maizlach are true or not true. The whole point is to say, you could have been a thief your whole life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Shekol kovecha lo yivoshu. Mikomokom hachosim ba'kadosh baruch hu lo'olam lo yivoshu. You want to reach out? The Rebbe Shlomo is going to extend the Sharvet Hazav Asher B'yado. That's the Ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we are far away. If you think about it, go back just from a historical standpoint, when did Hasidism pick up? Dafka, when people thought they were mamish far away. They had been totally and completely emotionally eviscerated by the Shabbosai Tzvi debacle. And then, with the persecutions over the course of the 18th century, they were mamish, they felt so down. So far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so comes the Baal Shem Tov, comes the many different Hasidic masters, and they say, don't worry, it's okay, because you might not be so learned. Remember, in those times, how many people had the ability to learn? Very few. So if you were just a regular shopkeeper or a peddler or a shmata dealer, what opportunities did you have? So the Rebbes, the Chassidim, came around and they said, the Rebbe Shlomo loves everyone. We should love him in kind. We love each other. We love the Rebbe Shlomo. It's an Ava. So this is a huge piece of Purim. Shekol kovecha lo yivoshu, chizku v'yamitz levavchem kolam yachalam l'Hashem, says the Sfasemes. Isn't this a tremendous message for us? Even though people are far away. That's inyan number two. So number one was the idea of Pnimius. The second one is the idea of Ahava. And the third one is the notion of simcha. What is simcha in the world of Hasidim? In light of what we just mentioned, perhaps, and there is a very interesting book. I didn't bring it. I know I should have brought it. There's a very interesting book that Elie Wiesel wrote in the 70s where it's called Souls on Fire. Elie Wiesel gives his own portrait of Hasidic masters and some of their stories, some of their legends. Why is Elie Wiesel writing a book about Hasidic masters in the 1970s? And if you read the book, it's incredibly powerful because his grandfather was a Hungarian Hasid. His father was also in the Hasidic community, and he was deeply rooted in the world of Hasidus. Why did he write a book on Hasidus? And what is he struggling with after he tells you, there's 7 or 8 Hasidic Rebbes over the history of Hasidus. He tells you a little bit about them, a little bit of legends, a little bit about when they lived, what their message was. And then he has his editorial comments about how he, in his own lifetime, knew Hasidim who lived these kinds of experiences. He says, I met a Breslover Hasid once. You know where he met a Breslover Hasid once? It was not in Hungary. It was in Poland. And he describes in the book his experience talking, conversing, is that he wasn't the only one who talked with this Breslover Chassid about their experience. It's an amazing reflection from a deeply, deeply spiritual person. Elie Wiesel was incredibly spiritual. So I think one dimension of simcha that the Hasidim are emphasizing is that simcha is on the inside. And therefore, it doesn't matter what's going on outside in the world. No one can take away my inner simcha, which relates to the previous two yesodos. If I have a pnimius, if I have an inner world, it doesn't really matter what's going on in the outer world, because I have my inner world. And if my inner world is full of love for other Jews, and they have love for me, and that I have love for Hashem, and I feel that Hashem loves me, so that's enough to feel I have a sense of simcha, irrespective of what's going on in the world. It could be that, you know, our community is suffering the after effects, the devastation of the Khmelnytsky massacres, or some other persecution, but I could still have simcha. You could take this Breslover Chassid and drop him mamish in the midst of the inferno, Gehenna mamish in this world, but he could still find his inner place, his inner simcha. Because there's the pnimius, there is the av. It doesn't mean that there aren't questions, it doesn't mean that there aren't challenges. But it's the ability to live in a world that has questions with joy, with the inner happiness, with that inner connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the chap of the simcha. And that's the chap of the simcha of Hasidus when it originated. Because you cannot possibly imagine a more economically depressed group of people than Jews in the Pale of Settlement or in Eastern Europe in the 18th century. My grandfather, Olav Shalom, my father's father, he grew up in a Galizianische Stiebel, in a Galizianische Shtetl, they were Sanz Rupschitzer Hasidim. And they were actually very interesting. My great-grandfather, my namesake, was a Rupschitzer Chassid, Sanz Rupschitzer Chassid, and also religious Zionist in Europe back in the day. So my grandfather told my father, he said that their town was, he lived in a town called Barnav, he said their Chassidish Chevra was so poor, he said that before somebody would die, they would try to get somebody who was wealthy to borrow an orange, so that the person, before they would die, could smell an orange. They should have that hanas olam hazeh. Could you imagine? Like, I probably can't imagine what that means. There was a fellow, she rest in peace, Lichtenstein Gan Eden, some of you remember, Benny the Barber. So he was on California. So he said he came from the same town that Ben-Gurion's family was from, so he was very proud of that. So I used to go there to talk to him. He said he remembers when the Ger Rebbe came to their town. The Ger Rebbe was very tall. Imraim was very tall, very tall hat. He said all the goyim in the town came. It was like a parade. He walked in. Everybody was blown away. He said, you know, it was great for them. It was great if they had an egg. They had 9 siblings. Most of them, they went up. 9 siblings. They lived in a two-bedroom, two-room, whatever, you know, hut somewhere. So it's amazing. You take the most economically depressed group and you tell them that your mantra is going to be simcha. How does that work? The answer is the simcha comes from the panemius, from the avas Hashem, from the meaning in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside. And this is why, perhaps, for Hasidim, Purim is way at the top. Way at the top. The Shem Yishmuel, this was the Sochachava Rebbe. There was a famous Gaon known as the Avnei Nezer, Rav Avram Bornstein, wrote very important tshuvas. So the Sochachava, 5 minutes? Thank you. So the Sochachava, Rav Avram Bornstein, had a son, Rav Shmuel Bornstein. He died in 1910, and then his family, some of them were killed during the war, and I think they have a Sochachava Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim. Now they reconstituted the Hasidus because one of the children of the second Rebbe did survive the war, so there is a Sochachava Hasidus today. But the most famous Sochachava first was the Avnei Nezer, and then his son, Rav Shmuel Bornstein, the Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel was also descended from the Heilige Kotzker Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel Morgenstern of Kotz, one of the firebrand, most intense, also remarkable and distinguished, unusual Hasidic Rebbes from the 19th century. So he has a Kabbalah. You want to hear this? I never saw this until this year when I was learning the Shem Yishmuel. I never heard this. He says, "Kavod Kedusha Zechkeni." I quote from Isaiah, says the Shem Yishmuel, "Zecher Tzadik Levracha L'Chai HaOlam Haba." Mikotsk, Shekol Hamoadim Nichlolim Bepurim. All of the holidays, all of the Yom Tov are all included in Purim. And he says, I'll show you how. You know, the Gemara says in the beginning of the Megillah, 5 days you can read the Megillah, the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. He says, how many holidays are there? Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. All the holidays are included in Purim. Amazing. Can I ask you, the Simchas Purim, you know, maybe it's a little misplaced. At the end of the Purim story, can you tell me, did the Jews go back to Israel? No. Is Esther living back with Mordechai with their little kinderlach? No. So we're going to have the biggest holiday because we weren't annihilated. Like that's the whole takeaway. But part of this is exactly the point. That you can have simcha, you can find your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any circumstance, and that is the deepest level of simcha. That the Jews can know, we're not building the Beis HaMikdash tomorrow. They couldn't go back. But you know what? One day we will. So it turns out, our Tafshasta, give it a couple of years, they will go back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But even though right now it's difficult, that's the whole idea. It's not easy. There's still... Akati Avdi Achashverushanim. So the Gemara says in Megillah, that's one reason why we don't say Hallel. We're still Avdi Achashverush. We're not out of the woods. We lose sight of that. At the end of the day, Esther, she's still living with Achashverush. But that doesn't mean, says the Megillah, it doesn't mean we had a special experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean we don't have Simcha. That we have this connection. So many Chassidish Sfarim quote this idea, and some of you probably have heard this over the years, that Yom Kippur, Yom HaKippurim, what is it, Ira? Right, Yom Kippur is like Purim. So what's going on over here, right? Is that like Stam a joke? Or? No, it's that what happens on Yom Kippur, we have this moment where the Malach HaMavis, the Satan, all the distractions in the world, they stay away from us for one day. And we can really hone in on what's important, our ruchnis, our spiritual life, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. We reconnect and leave everything else at the door. So in a certain sense, on Purim, Haman, the Satan, tries to reach us. He tries to destroy us. And the Rosh Hashanah says, remember? You won't be destroyed. Shekol koivecha lo yevoshu. Is there a greater simcha than that? Knowing that Hashem will always be there for us, that no matter how difficult this past year was, Yom Kippur, we're going to reset that button. No matter how scary Haman looks, doesn't matter. So I saw in the Sfasemis, I never saw this before, unbelievable. He says, Haman made an eitz gavoa chamishim ama. Didn't work out for him. Why not? Because we know that when the Jews were in Egypt, the Chazal tells there are 50 levels, and they had sunk to the 49th level of Tumah, and God forbid, had they not left, they would never left, right? That's what we're told. So we go back 50 miles to get to Har Sinai. So Sfasemis says, I have a secret for you. There is no 50th level of Tumah. It doesn't exist. Because Jews can never fall that far. We're never lost. Haman can never have an eighth Gavoa Chamishim Amma. He thinks he's going to reach Gavoa Chamishim Amma and eradicate Jews, but he never will. Is there a greater simcha than that? Is there a greater simcha than knowing that the Ribbono Shel Olam will always hold on to us? The Satan cannot reach us on Yom Kippur, and he can't reach us on Purim either. Now, if we had more time, we would develop another aspect of this, which is that, if you notice, that on Purim, we don't shun physical, material gashmias, we embrace it. You know, it's not, it's interesting, it's where we started. It's not uncommon. Rabbi Twersky, in the beginning of this epilogue, maybe it was in the Hakdama, I'm trying to remember, where he talks about the idea of the Chassidish bus drivers. He says, why? What does this mean? You have Chassidish bus drivers in Munsing. Like, where does that come from? He says, because in the world of Chassidus, there is no stira between the physical world and the spiritual world. Those are not in conflict. So that also is a piece of this, but we don't have time for that today. But if you think about that, that's the kind of the opposite of Yom Kippur and Purim. But in Yom Kippur, we say all materialism and physical has to be out. On Purim, we raise it up, which is another aspect of Chassidim that we couldn't talk about. But the notion that the concept of Simcha is an inner connection to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the source of a person's true joy. Isn't that what Purim is all about? That Haman can't reach us? That there's no such thing as a Eitz Gavoa Chamishim Amma? So these are elements that are core to Purim and core to Chassidus in general. So to summarize, because we are officially out of time, we made three simple observations. But these three simple observations, if you take a moment to develop them in your own mind, they're amplified in our lives, and they're certainly core to the Purim experience. And these are the three strains that we spoke about today. We spoke about pnimius, that there is the surface level of living, but then there's the inner level of living. So that's a challenge for all of us. On Purim, this is a big avoda. And on Purim, every year, it's a big challenge. What are we going to get dressed up as? So we decide this year we're going to do cops and robbers. So the Chum and I are the robbers. Why do you get dressed up with masks? Because it reminds you that this is just a Purim spiel. But that they're, on the outside, it's just a joke. It's just a mask. But the inner life is what matters. That's the pnimius. That's first. So that's why Chassidim Purim is very big, because it's the chitzonius, the outside world, versus the pnimius. That's number one. Number two, we spoke about the idea of Ava. You know, on Purim, it's an avoda because we get stressed, we have a lot of tension, we got to make sure we deliver, we got to be there, we got to do all these things. We need to take a step back and remember, what's the main avoda? The avoda is the avoda of Ava. To make sure that the people, when we deliver Shalach Manos, it's not a hit and run, that it's really to make sure that people feel that sense of Ava, and that we develop our Ava with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that the simcha that we hear when we feel that reading in the Megillah, where the simcha is that feeling of the love that Hashem has for us. And then the last piece, this element of simcha, to make sure that the simcha that we have on Purim, yes, of course, it is amplified by Chayav Adav L'Besume, Chayav Initial Besume. We're supposed to feel that bosem, that uplift, that geshmak, the deliciousness of the Suda, but it's really the simcha of feeling that we have an unbroken connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that simcha can live, we can nurture that, irrespective of whatever may be going on in the outside world. I wish all of us Simchas Purim. Thank you for coming. We're going to head now to the social hall for our short Chavrusa time.
You'll pair up with someone, or we'll pair one of the Kollel fellows with you, and then we have our Shir Klali to finish the morning.